The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
It's exciting when Trump comes into town, isn't it?
Is your father coming?
So let me ask you a question. Does Doonbeg love Trump?
Yeah!
Does everyone want to pine on us?
Yeah!
US President Donald Trump's sons there in Doonbeg, and you can't have avoided mentions of the Trump family this week. While some protested in Dublin and at Shannon Airport, others partied on the streets of Doonbeg to welcome the biggest local employer to the town. When it comes to work, trade and business, where do you draw the line between principles and profit? We're joined now by Tony Foley, economist and lecturer in DCU, and also from Cork, Siobhan O'Donoghue of Uplift, the organisation that coordinated the protests. You're both very welcome to the programme. Tony Foley, first to you. From a government point of view, the Trump visit was clearly awkward. There are many, many things that the government disagrees with in relation to policy about Donald Trump. But there's an element of pursuing an economic interest and getting on with it.
Yeah, it's interesting whether you go with principle or profit, but the problem is identifying what the principle is, because what are principles for some people might be totally repugnant things for somebody else. So what have we got against Trump? We basically don't like his domestic policy. And funnily enough, the things we don't like on an international sense, say on tax, in a sense, we're the baddies, because Trump is basically saying American companies have been going abroad, taking jobs, using all sorts of opportunities to avoid taxes. They should be coming back here and paying their taxes. And in a sense, that's very much the progressive approach in terms of multinational tax. We're the baddies in that regard. Now, in terms of other things, migration and so on, we'd have major differences with them. But it's very difficult for the Irish government in anything to do with the United States, because we happily take all the jobs and we take the money and we take the corporation profits tax and we get billions from
it
and so on. Oh, I think we should, because once you start introducing those principles, the question is, where do you stop? Who do you deal with? Why should we? You've just been talking about China. China has lots of problems. Why should we deal with China? Why don't they liberate Tibet? Why don't we have nothing to do with them? Even say, for example, Siobhan will be on in a moment, Uplift will be concerned about women's rights and so on. Why should we be doing business with Saudi Arabia? So you'd end up with a situation of, who do you actually do business with?
Siobhan O'Donoghue, what about that point? Where do you draw a line?
Well, if the question really is about how much damage do you allow, you know, a corporation or a country that is advocating a particular economic kind of model, and how much damage do you allow that to be inflicted on the environment or human health or local and communities' right to prosper and do business? I think you draw the line at public interest values, the common good. It's not easy. There's a huge amount of tension in that, but you don't allow profit to dictate the common good.
In the case of governments, profit really means the overall economic welfare, as opposed to an issue for a corporation and what's our profit. But Siobhan, what do you think of the way the Irish government handled the Trump visit? It's interesting that, for example, the Taoiseach went to meet Donald Trump. No other senior minister that I could see was there. There was a junior minister. It was relatively low key. He got a 21-gun salute in London.
Well, he was here on a private visit, primarily to promote his business in Doonbeg. And I just want to, for the record, I grew up very close to Doonbeg, so I'm very, very conscious of the value of the work and jobs in West Clare, which has been an economic black spot, an unemployment black spot since the recession. It was a private visit. It wasn't a state visit like it was in the UK. So, and it was clearly difficult for the government. But however, I mean, I think that I wouldn't have gone to meet him. I think Donald Trump is bringing the presidency of the United States into disrepute. His behaviour is not becoming of a leader of a democracy. In fact, he's actually taking every opportunity to undermine democratic values. So I think we need to, and democracies and leaders and political leaders need to stand up to him. Or the consequences is that his behaviour and his policies and his politics of hate become normalised.
Tony, what about that point? We need to stand up to these things.
But then you add an awful lot of other people to the list. You don't stop with Donald Trump. You used to go to lots of African dictators. You go to lots of other countries. You'd have problems about democracy with the new government in India and so on. So the problem for me is that Donald Trump is a legitimately elected, okay, he didn't get a majority of the vote, but he's a legitimately elected president of the United States, and he should be treated accordingly. Nothing special, nothing better, not hugs and kisses, but he is basically should be treated the same way as any other head of state.
Siobhan, when it comes to the Trump issue, and for example, a lot of people talked about the response from Dún Beag, which you're familiar with, it really irritated a lot of people, although a lot of people would also say they can understand that he's the biggest employer. We have a text in from Nicole. She says, listening to that clip by Trump's son saying, does Dún Beag love Trump? And the Egypt's roaring back, yes, is the most stomach churning at its worst.
And that was not the view on the ground by many people in West Clare. I'm very, very, very aware that people were not happy he was there, were not happy with the tipping of the cap towards him, a bit like the very kind of servitude kind of attitude that was in some ways amplified, was not as widespread as was being portrayed and amplified. And it's a kind of a particular story that kind of served a great kind of narrative that the Trumps absolutely exploited for their own good. Like they were on record as saying in Dún Beag that this is going to really help us at home. Trump is a great neighbour. Was I think one of the Trump sons specifically mentioned that as fantastic for back home. So it was that narrative was exploited, I think.
Totally,
felt widespread on the ground.
Even moving beyond the Trump issue per se, although there's a tweet there with a Groucho Marx quote, these are my principles, if you don't like them, I've got others. But moving aside from the Trump issue and the response of government to government policy, what about consumers?
Yeah.
Who feel that corporations are behaving badly. Consumers have a lot of power, don't they, to make
they
a statement and to change behaviour.
They have a lot of power. They can buy whatever they want to buy or not buy particular things. And in recent years, there would be a growing consumer movement, not least part of uplift in terms of ground level protests and so on. But say, for example, the whole notion of fair trade operations and buying proper types of products, the requirements of particular companies having to agree to pay better wages in particular developing countries and so on. So there would be an increased role for consumers to basically put pressure on corporations to behave better and more ethically. But in balance, I think, in general, unfortunately, I would say, people are still more inclined to buy cheap and sell dear, that they want to buy things as cheaply as they can.
Whatever about buying cheaply, there are examples, though, aren't there, of corporations that have done things, it's been highlighted by a wide consumer base, and they've changed their mind and stopped doing it.
Absolutely, and there's numerous examples. I'm thinking of, for example, in big coal projects. In the last 2 years, there's a massive coal projects being developed in Australia on the Great Barrier Reef, and consumers in banks, like Lloyds Bank, for example, in the UK, put pressure on those banks who were going to invest in those big coal projects and got them to pull out. Uplift members have been part of a campaign over the last few years putting pressure on Airbnb to stop allowing homes in illegal settlements in Gaza to be used. And Airbnb have had to, they've announced that they're ceasing that practice now. Actually, it has to be followed through. Last night, I just heard that London Irish Rugby Club, one of their sponsors, has just pulled out because they've signed Paddy Jackson as a result of consumer pressure on those sponsors, in terms to change, stop supporting behaviour that is actually in breach of basic rights.
Okay,
so there's many, many examples.
So the corporations do change their minds in certain circumstances about principles or about reputational damage, whatever it might be. I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. Tony Foley of DCU and Siobhan O'Donoghue of Uplift, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.